Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Well, Brad, this just in. Disney's selling a bunch of stuff.
What? Disney's selling stuff? They've never done that before.
Lots of merch. New merch.
Well,
upcycled new, merch, you might
yeah,
say.
Yeah, I was about to say, new to you merch is more like what it is, if you ask me.
So you put this in the show notes, and I read the article title, and I was like, okay, that's cool. You know, whatever, upcycled, whatever. You take something old that's broken or whatever, you turn it into something new. And then I read the article, and basically what Disneyland Paris is doing is taking the scrim from when the castle was under construction. They've cut it out into small, squares and whatever, and they've repurposed it into different products, and now they're selling that.
Yeah. It's an odd thing. So they aren't actually the ones upcycling this, right? They have partnered with Bylum, which is a business in France that already does upcycling of tarps and other materials to create unique leather goods, which I did the term.
Is this a leather scrim?
Did it get expanded to include not, I mean, pleather I've heard of, right?
Like, we've taken the scrim and we've dried it and stretched it and tanned it and it's become leather.
And attached it to a cow. And then
this cow wore it like a jacket for a year. And now it is legally leather.
Yeah, and please, if you're a fashion person who's yelling at your podcast player right now, yes, I'm a dummy who doesn't understand maybe what the fashion definition of leather is, but this doesn't meet the definition that I thought I knew of what leather was. But yeah, basically, this is probably brilliant on Disneyland Paris's part, because I expect, because they've partnered with this other company, that there's a good chance this other company probably sold them on this idea.
Yeah.
Right? Disney was ready to throw away the scrim when they got done.
Sure.
And then instead, this company approaches them and says, hey, we can do this. And they're like, okay, cool. Well, we'll sell it to you. And then we'll also take a percentage of every item that's sold. And it can only be sold at Disney, and it will do gangbusters business, because, I mean, I have no use for any of the items that are pictured here, but I don't know. I mean, let me ask you this, Jeremy. If they had a nice laptop bag that was made out of the Sleeping Beauty Castle scrim, you wouldn't be at least a little bit tempted?
No, I would. I mean, that's the thing. Right. This is garbage turned into bags, but that doesn't mean it's not good.
This is garbage turned into money is what this is.
This is smart business sense, If they sold a laptop bag made of Cinderella Castle from Walt Disney World, when they were repainting and everything in that scrim, I would certainly look and see what designs I could get. If I could get a good one, if I could get one of the spinnerets or whatever, mm-hmm. I might think about it.
See, I don't even know that I would particularly care about, like, as long as there was some design, because like I'm looking at the promotional photo of the bag sitting on, sitting next to the rock work, and it was made from the part of the scrim that was the rock work. And I'm like, that actually looks pretty cool. And yeah, the average person's not going to know that's Disney, but I'm going to know it's Disney. And so I don't know, man. It's like, this is ridiculous. And especially the, 30 euros to 140 euros, which means 30 euros for the little bitty bitty things all the way up to 140 euros, which is going to, I expect this to be like really heavily weighted toward the upper end of that spectrum.
Yeah, the little pencil case is $30 for sure.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. It's a little bit tempting to me. I expect this to do well, and then for this to be the new thing moving forward. You know, I mean, there was a deal where you could get lights from, you know, the Osborne light show, like an individual light that they then framed and they gave you as part of what it was, a tour or something, wasn't it? Or maybe it was a dessert party. So
I don't remember what the other perk was.
But Disney reusing stuff that would otherwise be thrown away to create something is not unheard of. It's not new, but like, I don't know. This is, am I coming around on this as time goes on?
I mean,
I am not buying one of these bags.
Yeah, no, it just depends on what it is. I think it would be a lot more tempting to me if it was Walt Disney World. I don't really have any need to have the one from Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, no, not this particular thing.
Or Disneyland,
this idea.
Even. Yeah.
But Jeremy, imagine that a Scrim comes up from Tower of Terror.
Oh, brother. I'm all over
then it. Then it's just a piece of brown wall, and Jeremy's still like, well, found my new laptop bag. It's a brown laptop bag, and I know where it's from.
But I know. Nobody else will know, but I know.
And Jeremy, you might be able to pick up that brand new bag at one of Disney's new pop-up shops.
A pop-up?
Yes, all throughout the nation, pop-up shops will be opening.
That's got to be at a really popular place like Target, or...
I mean, if it's going to be all around the nation, it's got to be, right? Because you've got to have a place that already has
one of those real hip and cool places where all the TikTokers go.
Yeah, yeah. I don't get me wrong. I'm sure there is a subsection of TikTokers that all go to Big Lots, because that's who Disney partnered with for the Disney pop-up shops. So find your local Big Lots, and you're going to have or BigLots.com for their Disney pop-up shop stuff. This is such a weird partnership to me. Like, I don't even know what to say. This is just weird.
So I wonder... Hearing you say BigLots.com immediately made me go, oh, okay. Yeah. Seeing Big Lots as the brick and mortar retailer where these things would be sounds weird and unusual, because Big Lots isn't, you know, Big Lots is obviously a big retailer, but not the type of company you would assume Disney would go to and say, hey, we want to put pop-ups in your stores. But then you say BigLots.com, and at that point, it really doesn't matter. If you're going to BigLots.com, you might as well be going to Disney.com. Big Lots has an online presence. They have, you know, the ability to take credit cards and all that already. And if you're buying from BigLots.com, you might as well be buying from Target.com or Walmart.com or whatever. So actually hearing you say BigLots.com when you're introing this, you know, topic, made me kind of go, yeah, okay, yeah, it really doesn't matter. As long as it's available online, who cares who it's through? You know, Disney sure doesn't care. They're going to get most of the money for it anyway.
Right, but it's BigLots.com and Big Lots 1,440 stores in the
U.S.
Which,
wow, that's a lot. I had no idea.
Right? From September 2nd through October 14th. So, if you're going to be hitting up your Big Lots Disney pop-up, you better do it soon. And, Jeremy, I have to share some thoughts from Bruce Thorne, president and CEO of Big Lots, as he said to chain store age. For decades, the Walt Disney Company has inspired joy, hope, and creativity around the world through its popular collection of entertainment properties. Like Disney, Big Lots is in the business of delivering delightful experiences and unexpected treasures to our customers, and we hope this limited-time collection of products featuring beloved characters like Disney Minnie Mouse, Disney Mickey Mouse, Grogu, Buzz Lightyear, and more adds a little extra magic to their visit. So, essentially, according to the Big Lots CEO, Big Lots is basically Disney.
Yeah, Disney, Big Lots. I get them every time I turn on Big Lots Plus. Oh, I mean Disney,
right?
Plus. I'm always looking for the latest Mandalorian episode.
And then you show up in Orlando and you're like, where do I tap my oh dang it, I walked into Big Lots, not into Magic Kingdom anymore. By the way, I also love how he says Disney Mickey Mouse, Disney Minnie Mouse, Grogu, Buzz Lightyear, and more. Like, you can't just say Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse. It has to be Disney Mickey Mouse and Disney Minnie Mouse.
But nobody cares about Grogu.
Yeah, it's not Star Wars Grogu and Pixar Buzz Lightyear. Also, are we concerned? Is there another Mickey and Minnie Mouse that we don't know about? Is there like a Nickelodeon Mickey Mouse and Nickelodeon Minnie Mouse?
No. No, okay. There's not.
Okay, that's never happened.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chapek. We won't bring that up again.
Right. I don't know. It blows my mind to say, just like Disney, we're also in this business. Oh man,
you've been to Big Lots Land. You've been to Big Lots World. You understand Big Lots. Is just like Disney.
And by the way, before anybody thinks that Jeremy and I are in the business of throwing shade, we both shop at the Big Lots, okay? Yes. Like pretty regularly, I will drop in and just kind of see, you know, what's available, see if there's anything that I just can't live without. So I love Big Lots.
Just a wild partnership, it seems,
right,
on the surface.
Yeah. If I would have told you, hey, Jeremy, Disney's going to open a pop-up in an existing store, and I gave you 10 guesses. Yeah,
pick a retailer.
Right. You would have struggled probably to come up with 10 different retailers that you thought were likely for it, and none of them would have been Big Lots.
No way.
In any world. And I do agree with you about the whole online thing, but there's also this thing called shopdisney.com that Disney has access to, where they can also sell all of the stuff at whatever price they want to sell it for. So I don't know.
You've got to imagine, though, most of this stuff is going to get sold online.
Oh, 100%. I don't know. Wait. I just said 100%, but at the same time, I was totally thinking I'm going to have to stop by Big Lots maybe this weekend and just see what's going to be in the pop-up shop, because there might be something good. And it's the sort of thing where I'd look at it online, but if it's right there and I can just take it home with me.
Okay, I just had a thought. Mm-hmm. What if what they're doing is the same as... So back in the day, they did a... One time when Claire and I were at Walt Disney World, and I've talked about this before, Claire and I were walking around buying merch, but we were buying it on the Shop Disney app because they were doing free shipping.
Minimum. You mean back in the good old days when
you could scan a barcode and buy the thing.
Yeah, and it had a separate app and all that stuff.
But when we received those items, it was very clear that those were the items from the retail stores, because they were wrapped in the exact same paper in the exact same boxes and then put into a shipping box and shipped to our house. What if that's what the BigLots.com thing is? What if they're just gonna ship all this merchandise to all the stores? Disney's not gonna hold on to any of it. And then you buy it, and then the Big Lots employee at whatever store has the, you know, stock of it, goes to the shelf, picks it up, wraps it up, sends it to you. If that's the case, then this is like the biggest win-win for Disney in the world, because they don't have to hold on to any of this. They send all the Big Lots stores their allotments of all this stuff for the month, and then they say, you're in charge of selling it in the store, but you're also in charge of selling it online, and good luck.
I mean, it's very plausible. I assume that Big Lots will do it however they have currently done their online, which I've never bought anything online from Big Lots, but what is it? Child or Children Place? What is the one for buying kids' clothes?
Children's Place.
Yeah.
Carter's and Children's Place, I think, are both the same company. Basically.
Okay. Well, childrensplace.com, I've bought stuff from before and gotten it in like 5 different packages because of it was literally that.
Yeah.
Like, I could tell they were essentially sending the order to whatever store was close to me that had it in stock, and then telling that store to ship me these items or whatever. And it was the weirdest thing ever. But yeah, that is possibly a thing, but then why do you have an end date on it? Like, are you expecting to sell through all that inventory by that end date? And what are you going to do with it after that end date?
But that I guess Disney just sending it to the stores and saying, you figure it out, kind of serves that there's an end date. Because then Disney doesn't have to worry about it. Big Lots, you know, in that scenario, Big Lots has purchased the bulk, you know, purchase. They've bought everything. And Disney sends the allocations to the stores, blah, 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 whatever. And then it's Big Lots' problem. And there's no... I'm trying to think of a way that Big Lots comes out on top of this, and the only way I can think of is that they don't have stores that have this stuff, and then also have an allocation in a warehouse waiting for online purchases, you know, because they want to sell as much as they can for people like you who are going to go seek out a Big Lots and go in and see based on the novelty.
Let's be clear:
this.
if there wasn't a Big Lots in my town, I would not be doing it.
See, and I don't have one, so I'm not going to. I would, but. People who live in a town where there are Big Lots, they're going to go on the based on the nostalgia and the novelty of it, and just see what's up.
Well, so, I'll let you know what I see, and if I see anything good, I'll pick it up for you, and you can come pick it up from me next time you visit. Okay. How about that?
But yeah, I think about this more, I think it's a very interesting business model that I think Disney might do again. If it you know goes well, because if they've done that, if they just said Big Lots here, you pay us, you know, whatever, $20 million, and you have this merchandise, and then you figure it out. These pop up right. stores are your problem. Who cares, man? You know, Disney's made their money and they're good to go. So I don't know. I think this is interesting, and I would like to see the you know if you go, what's the state of the pop-up store. And
that's definitely something I want to see is, does it feel like it's separate from the, I have questions. Okay. Yeah, I have questions about how this is working.
Yeah.
But they will be answered soon. I don't know. All that I do know for sure is now I have found chainstoreage.com, and I'm definitely going to be, this is the weird kind of stuff that I will probably be looking at, because it's all about like Dollar Tree and Target and Bed Bath and Beyond. I mean, you know, I get stories like how Red Wing Shoes is going to take back Labor Day with no sale. And I got to know, you know, or Meijer is launching a new store concept. I mean, geez, man, this is what you got to know about. You got to know about all this stuff.
Important.
That's right. That's right. I'll have my finger on the pulse.
You know what else is important? Not letting your child get run over by a float in a parade at a Disney theme park.
I mean, it's optimal not to let that happen.
Because that almost did happen. And the video is terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Oh, my gosh.
As a parent, I went, no!
This little kid during Festival of Fantasy just, like... It's mind-boggling that this happened, because this little kid just runs and jumps onto the front of a parade float. And luckily, this child with his little cup, I mean, he's got to be 4 or 5, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
He's little. And he just, like, hops right up there to go say hi to Pluto, and, like, the float is moving, and, like, oh, my gosh. And then very shortly, like... seconds after he does, this cast member runs up behind him trying to, you know, I don't know what she's expecting, you know, she's just gonna pick him up and take him off the float. But oh my gosh, just seeing this little boy run and jump up on the float or on the front of a float, which is, you know, a vehicle with stuff on it. But oh my gosh, it freaked me out.
Yeah, I mean, this kid's...
It's a car. It's like a kid just jumping out into the street and jumping out of the bumper of a car.
Right, but it's not a car, because it's at Disney, and at Disney, nothing can happen to you. And
that's true.
You know, there's Pluto right there, so why would you be scared?
Pluto will save me.
I mean, props to whoever was driving that float, because the way that it the kid is running into the street, and it was already slowing down so that it stopped as the kid starts to jump on.
Yeah.
That is extremely heads up. And also props to that cast member.
The woman that jumped up there and got him needs a raise.
Right. Like she hits that float. she actually gets a bad step to start and almost falls down, but, you know, picks herself up, immediately grabs the kid, walks him off to dad, who you see, like, or I assume some male who is like running to the kid, you know, and just passes him off. And that's where, I don't know, I feel like this is maybe a video that ends too soon, because I kind of want to know what the aftermath was, though I'm imagining it was parade keeps on going, because, you know, you can't really do a lot. And
so here's what I think happened. You can see when the guy, and I've watched this video too many times, you can see when the guy is running that he's got one of those red strollers with the sun cover on it.
Uh-huh.
My thought is that at some point this kid got out of the stroller and his dad didn't notice. Because at that age, if that kid is four, he is old enough to unclip the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if he is cunning enough, he could, you know, because that sunshade on those red strollers that they rent to you are pretty big.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you're not looking down at that moment, you're not going to notice.
He could easily have gotten out of that stroller and just started walking, you know? And then, God, the terror as a parent of, like, looking into the stroller and your kid is gone, and the, like, mental math of when is the last time I looked into this stroller? How many minutes has it been since I last saw my child? And then you hear, like, all these screams and stuff from the parade, and immediately, like, I can put myself in that guy's shoes of just being, like, you see your child is gone, you hear noise and commotion, and you just sprint towards it. You're like, that's got to be him.
Right, and, yeah. I don't know where he is, but hearing that, you immediately, you're like, that's got to be... Well, it actually... So as we're talking, I am watching this video on a loop, and it looked like he was actually standing up on something. So he was probably looking for his kid.
Oh.
And then suddenly hears that, because you kind of see him jump down you know, like he gets lower.
Yep.
And then he's running over. So he was probably looking for his kid and suddenly realized exactly where they were. And so
just all said and done, I feel for every single individual in this video.
Yes.
The dad, the kid, the guy in the Pluto suit. I mean, Pluto, the dog, who is very clearly like,
what am I supposed to do here, guys?
What do I do? There's a kid.
Right. There's a kid in a no kid area.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just feel for everybody in this situation. That's terrifying.
Well, and the thing is, like, when I first saw this story come across my stream, I've become a little jaded, Jeremy, over time. Like, with just the
being
like
in the biz,
the cucumber and the hands in the water. Like, there's so many things where guests do stupid things, right? That I was like, oh gosh, somebody told their kid it would be, you know, it's totally safe. Just go jump over on the float because we're going to get a picture of you with Pluto or something. But yeah, seeing this, I immediately went, oh no, this parent had no clue that this was about to happen. No harm, no foul. Thankfully.
Well, the last thing that I wanted to talk about was the Oogie Boogie Bash at Disney California Adventure. They had Ernesto de la Cruz himself from whatever they call the Great Beyond in Coco. He's come to California and has sang a song. And, you know, when I first saw this video... And I saw the thumbnail for it. I was a little unsure about what I thought, because you have a person who is supposed to look like a skeleton, you know? And I was like, I don't know if that works. And then I watched the video. And my first thought watching that video was, this is the difference between the talent available to the Disney parks in California and the talent available to the Disney parks in Florida. This is why cast members are almost across the board better actors than in Florida. Because all the people who want to be actors are in LA trying to be actors, and they get a job in Anaheim, you know, at Disneyland or whatever, to act. And you get this, which it's incredible. I love this. I think the costuming is great. I think the makeup is really good. Everything about this is really, really cool. And I think that it would not be as good in Florida as it is in California Adventure, because you have so much more acting talent in California.
Okay, so after all the shade you dropped on Florida, you might want to go pick that up real quick. But no, 100%. There are great performers on both coasts.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I do totally
agree with you that it feels like the ceiling, I think, is just as high in on both coasts, but the floor seems to be higher in California. And
that is a great way to put it. I absolutely agree with that.
The performer here, Ernesto, is just like makes this, because again, as you said, this could have been a joke, but it wasn't, because he sold it so well. And
yeah,
man, I love the makeup work here, because it reminds me of the makeup they do for Jack Skellington.
Mm-hmm.
But like a whole new level of it, right? And admittedly, Ernesto has much less pronounced features.
He has much more features.
Right. So you don't have the big honking head and then, you know, having the mouth and trying to make that work together. But just the way that this, like the Jack Skellington looks like a mask. This doesn't, like, yeah, he doesn't look like a skeleton, of course, because, you know, dimensions and stuff, but the face, that doesn't totally look like a mask. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, and that's when I was saying
it looks natural.
When I was saying I saw the thumbnail and didn't exactly know what to think, as soon as you see it in video, it's like, oh yeah, no, this is great. Because in a thumbnail, in a still image, yeah, it kind of does look like a mask. But as soon as you see it moving,
the way that they have augmented to still allow for facial expressions, mm-hmm, to show through it, right, and the movement of the face to show,
because it would be really easy to make this a fur character and to just do a Jack Skellington mask and have him, you know, have the robotic moving mouth, but they've, mm-hmm, more or less, you know, made it a face character where this dude is emoting, but his emotions look exactly like the emotions portrayed in Coco. I am in awe from a makeup and costuming point of view. I am in awe of this because it is spot on.
Yeah, no, this is incredible. I would love to go see Oogie Boogie Bash just to see Ernesto, because the sad part is I don't think that Ernesto is suddenly going to be a regular in the parks, right?
No.
He's going to show up for Halloween, and I don't know, man. Like, there's a decent chance that in a couple of years he doesn't show up at all, right? Like, he's hot right now, but will he have the staying power? And I sure hope he does, because I'd love to see more of this, you know?
Yeah, me too.
And let me see this over at Walt Disney World. I know that Jeremy says it can't be done because all Florida actors suck, but I believe in you, Florida actors. I think you guys can do incredible things. And so I think that you guys could also do a fantastic Ernesto de la Cruz. Regardless of what Jeremy says. And just remember, you can find lots of photos of Jeremy on his social media in case you're wondering what he looks like. And Jeremy, what are the dates of your trip again?
I hope I'm never up for a part in Florida for anything.
Oh, jeez. No, I'm not even thinking you being up for a part. I just think that, you know, maybe the cast members would like to know when your next visit's going to be, Jeremy.
No one tell Betty Shambles I said that. No one tell Betty Shambles.
Oh, dude.
Don't tell the citizens. I take it back. I take it all back. Don't tell the citizens of Hollywood I said that.
Jeremy just Jeremy just threw shade on the citizens of Hollywood.
No, I didn't. I meant everybody but them.
Jeremy said, if only the citizens of Hollywood were at California, they would be good. That's essentially what he said.
No.
Y'all heard it here.
My precious, precious citizens of Hollywood, please come back. I love you so much. Oh, okay. Removing foot from mouth. I think that'll do it from this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.